welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravia of the News Tribune. And Kyle, I think the way the game started last week, we thought it was going to be a loss, and then by the end of it, it ended up being a pretty easy win. Ends up being 38-21 for Missouri over Kentucky, and I think it's real easy to say we figured out where maybe the switch got flipped in that game.
There was a definite moment where you could tell the momentum changed. The midway through the first quarter, it looked like Missouri might lose by 40.
Right.
That was the worst start they've had this year by a good margin.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, I can't remember exactly what the stat was. There was something like four or five straight games where Missouri had scored on its opening drive, and let alone not scoring on the opening drive, the offense looked inept.
Sure.
The first couple of drives. And then your punter throws a touchdown.
Right.
And everything changes.
Yeah.
And just instant domination the rest of the way.
Right.
I mean, not even, you know, a nice close win the rest of the way. After going down 14-0, they outscored Kentucky 38-7.
Yeah. I think it was one of those things, too, where I think Missouri did play much better after that. And by the same token, I think things just went bad in a hurry for Kentucky, where it kind of allowed Missouri to get back into it. It had the feel of one of those weird games where, you know, you'll constantly hear about teams or coaches that like to script out the first 15 or 20 plays.
Sure.
This had the feeling of like they scripted out 20 great plays to start this game, and then after that, when they had to make things up on the fly, it was a shambles because they looked horrible after kind of that same point. And you can't just say, oh, that play broke their back, because yes, it did give Missouri a lift, but you can't suddenly go from like we're running and we're gashing Missouri for big gains, and all of a sudden we can't do that anymore, we just look inept. It was really, really very strange from a Kentucky standpoint.
It was a very full switch for both teams,
right?
In that moment where, like I said, you know, Missouri looked awful.
Yeah.
Those first few drives, Kentucky looked fantastic. And then you get the punter touchdown, and Missouri looks fantastic the rest of the game,
yeah,
essentially. And Kentucky is the one looking terrible.
Right.
I mean, it was not like, you know, one side is now getting all the momentum. It's gone from Kentucky.
Yeah. And you don't want to overreact from just one game, because I don't feel like that gives you a true feeling for a team. But the stuff I had seen, and we talked about a little bit last week, the stuff I'd seen from Kentucky going into that game, they looked pretty good at times, and you're like, this team might be kind of sneaky good. But having watched that whole game, because I did go back and watch it a second time just to kind of try to figure out where did things go bad, but you look at it and you just go, I don't think they were maybe as good as they had maybe played to that point. And again, maybe this game's an outlier, who knows. But you do look at certain stats, and I think they brought it up on the broadcast where they said, you know, this core of receivers leads the SEC in drop percentage. And it showed. They didn't catch balls that they needed to catch, but they also didn't run the ball very well. And it was almost like as the game wore on, that was the thing they were supposed to be pretty decent at, and they kind of almost just got worse at it or went away from it in some cases.
Well, and that was kind of something we talked about on the podcast last week, was Kentucky had looked very good in all of its games against inferior opponents.
Sure.
And it looked very bad against Georgia.
Right.
Right. So it was just like, the schedule was like cupcake, 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 Vanderbilt, Georgia.
Right.
And it was just like we had no idea what Kentucky really was.
Sure.
And I think I said exactly on the pod last week that this was the first game against a moderately well-matched opponent.
Right.
And I think you learned a lot about what Kentucky actually is during that game.
Sure. And I guess if you're looking for even more silver linings, not only does Missouri get the win that improves them to 6-1 overall and 2-1 in the SEC, they do it with two of their key cogs not necessarily playing all that great.
Yeah, Brady Cook and Luther Burden had their worst statistic games of the season.
Yeah.
Brady, you know, had been on a string of four or five straight games of 300 passing yards or more. Luther had been on a string of five straight games of 100 yards or more. And I think Luther ended at 15 on
yeah,
two catches,
right,
and Brady ended at like 175, which was, His season low in a full game, he only threw for about 172 in the first half of week one, right? Because he didn't play the second. When you're able to look as good as Missouri did, you know, starting in the second quarter on, and your main guys are not really doing that much damage, that's a pretty good sign.
Right. And so the good result then is that, you know, obviously they're 6-1 now. You bounce back from the first loss of the season with a win. And I think everything's leaning toward this week as being another one of those games where you go, finally the schedule gets a little bit of a break, where you look at it and go, okay, you know, we thought there was going to be some tests here. Yes, Vandy was kind of a break week two, but it's this one. I feel like South Carolina, you know, you're hosting them at 2:30 today on SEC Network for those who are staying at home to watch it. But it's a 2-4 South Carolina team, and I think this is one of those where you go, you don't want to say relax, this is a relaxed game, because you don't want to relax against anybody. Yeah. But it does feel like this is a game where you go, I feel like I'd be stunned if this one is close, I think, for Missouri.
I'm not confident that this is a break.
Okay. Tell us why.
South Carolina has played a gauntlet of a schedule to start the year. I mean, they're 2-4, but you know, one of those wins is against Furman, the other's against Mississippi State, and then every loss is against a legitimately very good team.
Right.
Right? I mean, with three of those losses coming in conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think South Carolina is like a midway point 2-4 quality team. I think they've just hit an incredibly tough portion of their schedule early on.
Okay.
And is probably a team that's, you know, looking for a way to maybe ruin homecoming and get something rolling through the start of the second half of the season.
So I think if you're just looking at names, or you're just looking at kind of the obvious stuff, you look at it and go, okay, the one kind of name where you go, okay, I think if South Carolina does make this a game where it's tightly contested, is maybe we look at it and go, quarterback Spencer Rattler is the name we know and is the guy who's shown flashes. And if he does show up and play well today, then that could have a drastic effect on the outcome of the contest.
Yeah, and South Carolina's offense is pretty pass heavy. So if they're going to be effective, it's because Rattler's having a pretty good day.
Yeah.
He's at, you know, around 1,700 yards this year, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You know, not an incredible stat line, but again, like, no cupcakes to rack the numbers up
sure,
against.
Sure, right.
You know, and his main target is Xavier Leggett, I believe is how you pronounce it. Hope I said it right. he's looked very good. He was an electric returner last year and has kind of turned into a very good wideout, and then they've got an enormous tight end in Trey Knox. I mean, that's a mismatch against anybody in coverage just because he is huge. But yeah, if Rattler is having a good day, like, so goes Spencer Rattler, so goes South Carolina's offense.
Yeah. So on the flip side, if you know, Missouri can get those guys on offense back to kind of performing at how they're going to perform, I guess my question for you is the South Carolina defense the defense that only gave up 24 to Georgia, or are they the one that gave up 41 to Florida last week and 41 to Tennessee 2 weeks ago? So, I mean, because I think if you're looking at it, you go, oh, that 24-14 loss to Georgia is very impressive. So I guess it is just, is it, they can be both things. They can be that defense some days and not the other defense the other days. Or are we leaning towards maybe this is a team that Missouri could put up some points against?
It feels like a cop-out, but I think they're probably just both, you know. And
fair.
Every team kind of has those both moments, right?
Yeah.
I think the more important factor is, I think Missouri's offense is just very good.
Sure.
And we've now had this conversation part of it for 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Right.
Missouri's put up, 38, 39, and 38 the last three games. They put up 30 or more the last five.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a very good offense now with what's turning into a fantastic receiving core.
Yeah.
Along with Luther Burden leading the way. I mean, Theo Weiss has had a fantastic couple of games the last few weeks. Mookie Cooper's doing a good job as kind of a role guy. And Marquise Johnson's really come out strong the last few weeks. He was the one who caught the punter touchdown last week.
Right.
You know, he is an incredible deep threat that has really, like, opened up the underneath routes in a way because teams have to respect that speed going deep. And it's become an offense that I think you have to worry about every game. So whether South Carolina is the, like, 24 against Georgia or the 40 in those two other games, Tennessee and Florida, I think Missouri's offense is liable to put up 35 against basically anybody at this point.
Right. And to that end, I mean, that's the sort of thing where, because that offense has been so good, it's kind of translating into they're getting some attention nationally. And their names are popping up on some award watch lists. And I'll just let you go and yeah. I'll say, who and what on what list there, Kyle?
So we've passed the midway point, which means all of the award watch lists are out. So I've got this list written out. Brady Cook is on the Manning Award watch list for best quarterback. Brady Cook, Luther Burden are on the Maxwell Award watch list, which is the most outstanding player overall. Burden, Chris Abrams-Drain are first-team All-Americans midseason. Javon Foster is second-team All-Americans midseason. Chris Abrams-Drain is on the Bednarik watch list for most outstanding defensive player. With his 4 interceptions, almost 5 because he almost had 2 last week.
Right.
He's, I believe, tied for second in the SEC, and his 13 passes defended lead the country.
Okay.
The entire offensive line made the Joe Moore midseason honor roll,
okay.
which is the offensive line unit award. And then Coach Drinkwitz on the Bear Bryant watch list. I mean, it's a fantastic rundown of, you know, you've got all of your key guys. The offensive line being on a unit award watch list is fantastic considering
right.
what we were talking about with them going into the season.
Absolutely. I was going to say that might be the biggest surprise for me.
I completely agree. Yeah. I think that's the one where, you know, an outstanding step forward from them
sure.
from what especially we saw last year, but what even we were expecting, you know, through the first couple of weeks,
right.
because we were talking about Brady was kind of running for his life again.
Absolutely.
And they have stepped up in a huge, huge way. It's made a huge difference in this offense being able to produce at the rate it has.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, it's been a big reason why Cody Schrader is second in the SEC in rushing.
Right.
Is because he's got holes opening up in front of him all the time because this offensive line is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. I think if you told either one of us maybe at the beginning of the season, you might have been a little more rosy colored glasses than I would have
yeah.
been. But if you'd said, okay, how many watch lists total are they on at midseason? I probably would have said maybe one. Maybe Luther's on something somewhere.
Sure. Yeah.
That would have been the one I would have picked. Otherwise, I would have said probably not much of a chance for any of them, frankly.
Well, and to have 3 midseason All-Americans is pretty fantastic.
Sure.
And that's without Brady being on there, right, with the way he's playing.
Right.
You know, that is a great list of guys just being on these watch lists spread out through like multiple guys on most outstanding overall player,
right.
most outstanding defensive players in there, the offensive line unit. I mean, you're getting like very general awards. You're not specifying down into specific cases,
sure.
which can be, you know, a little more open for guys who are, you know, not playing as great overall, but like most outstanding player, incredible award watch list to be on.
Right.
Most outstanding defensive player, incredible award watch
sure.
list to be on. That
yep.
that says a lot about where Missouri is as a team right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a reason they're 6-1. They've been playing incredible.
Yeah. So I guess I will just ask you at this point, do they bolster those resumes and continue to maybe make the next cut when it comes time for those lists to bring out their like first list of cuts, the second round of cuts? Do they take that step today and put up a big performance enough to kind of keep themselves in contention for said awards?
Yeah, I think it'll be a happy homecoming.
Okay.
You know, the energy, it's going to be the 3rd straight sellout at FRO. I'm expecting pretty big energy.
Yeah.
This will be the first time I get to really experience a Missouri homecoming, which will be cool. Last year, I kind of had to rush into the stadium, didn't really get to experience much. I'm going with a couple of Mizzou grads. I'm not a Mizzou grad.
Right.
And they're going to show me around a little bit before I need to get inside. So I'm hoping that all translates pretty well inside and that energy is up. And I think that run of a 30 or more offensive performances probably keeps up.
Okay.
So I'll say Missouri wins 35-27.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabia, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabia on Twitter at Kyle_McArabia. That's McArabia. Thanks for listening.